You know, there are many subjects like physics, chemistry, biology, where we study many subjects. But Ishopanishad has a specific subject. What are you and how you can derive the maximum, the perfect enjoyment and the secret of yourself, secret of all, the secret of the Supreme. This is the subject matter of the Upanishad, of this Upanishad particularly. It is in this process when you are asked to renounce, then there is a psychological consequence. Human psychology is such that if it follows one direction, it gets glued to that direction. If I am taken to a television to see a film, psychologically I see one film, then I say, let me see the second film, third film, fourth film. I get glued psychologically. You don't feel like going out of it. We get glued. If I read a very nice novel, good story, I go on reading on and on and on and on and on and on. If somebody calls you out, you feel a kind of a botheration. You want to be glued. Similarly, if you are playing a game, you want to play again and again and again and again and again. But similarly also, if you renounce, you want to renounce and renounce and renounce and renounce and renounce. Now many of us don't experience this, but it's also a fact psychologically. If you begin the process of renunciation, you get glued to the process of renunciation. Now, when you start the process of renunciation, you begin to have an experience. The experience of silence. This is a psychological consequence. You begin renunciation when you say, this is not mine. This is to be sacrificed, this is to be surrendered, this is to be given up. Once you start with this, in your psychological condition, there is the operation of the state of silence. Now, if you go on with this movement, the psychology will take you to getting stuck with silence. Silence can be so overpowering that if somebody calls you out to come out of silence, you say, no. I'm so peaceful, so blissful. I have no turmoil. I'm perfectly happy, perfectly satisfied. This is also a very powerful experience psychologically. The movement of renunciation leads you to silence, and silence can be so overwhelming that you don't wish to be pulled out of it. Now, supposing you don't get yourself pulled out and you remain completely in silence, then what happens? Will you have enjoyment, which is promised in the very first sentence, that you will enjoy if you renounce? But if you enter into silence and you feel that now you are enjoying the silence, is it really enjoyment? Because even when you do not renounce and you try to enjoy anything, it's also an enjoyment. Ice cream is an enjoyment, although short time. Similarly, silence also is an enjoyment, but for a short time. It may seem to be very long. It is true, there are people who can remain in silence for months and months and months and months. But it is found that our breathing itself is an activity, is action, is work. Our body itself is an engine of action. And even if your mind can be silenced, the engine of the body cannot be silenced. And even if you silence it, this is where the teaching of the Upanishad is very important. Even if you silence it, very often people silence the body and withdraw from the body altogether in the state of silence. This also is possible. Then the Upanishad says, then you have not done the right thing. If you remain silent, which is good, you should have the capacity of silence. But if you really remain silent and nothing else, if you have become incapable of work and activity, then you have missed out the secret of permanent enjoyment. This is a hard saying for many people who are seeking only silence and who believe that silence is the only aim of life. Pardon? Quite. It is a first step, therefore should not be construed as the last step. Silence can be the first step, a first basis even. Even indispensable step, but it is not the secret of the aim that is enjoined for our life here. Because psychologically silence does take you away from action, and even it tends to pull you into the realm of silence forever and ever and ever and ever, because psychologically this is possible. Therefore Upanishad warns you and says, if you only attain that, then you are not fulfilled. Therefore it says, you should do works here, not going away somewhere in Himalayas or even Nirvana into a complete state away from this body, withdrawing from the body forcefully or willingly. That is not the way by which you can be fulfilled. And then it says, doing works, that is the right thing and not anything else. It repeats, because there is a feeling that either you can remain in silence forever or you can also do work like an optional subject in your examination. You can either do silence or you do works, but both are equally good. But this Upanishad says, no. Doing works, that itself and nothing else. That is to say, you must cultivate a complete silence and complete action, both together. This is the goal that has been proposed in this Upanishad. And then it says that if you can do works, then you will not enter into bondage. You will be free. Now this last sentence is very important. What is this idea of bondage? What is this idea of freedom? What is the connection of works with freedom? It's a very big science in the field of yoga. What is work? What is bondage? What is freedom? This is the subject matter in India